Blog Talk Radio.
The First Epistle General of Peter. 1 Peter 1.
Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Forasmuch as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you.
Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. This is Issues Christian Men's Talking. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. I'd like to welcome you to tonight. It's Monday, the 27th of July, 2020. Thank God for all those who have called in. If you called in, it's 646-668-2636. Thank you for joining us. I see you on the switchboard here. If you want to join the conversation, you can press 1 on your keypad and share your insights and your wisdom. And for those who are listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, we also want to thank you for taking time out your evening to join us in the conversation and be part of what we're going to be encouraging you with today. Just wanted to encourage the brothers on this Monday morning, the last week of July 2020, to say the year 2020 has been a lot going on. We've made it through 7 months, only 5 more months to go. A lot of things are changing, a lot of things are moving towards the better. A lot of things are changing the same. There's a lot of flux, a lot of things. But God is still in control. God is sovereign in all these things. He is steady. Jesus Christ is still on the throne. So I just want to encourage those out there, no matter what part of the country you're from. We're here in the Baltimore, D.C. area. Things are going up and down, but all is well. And I pray all is well with you and your family, wherever you are, and whatever the circumstances there are. Amen. Let's open a prayer, and we're going to get right into the conversation. We're going to talk tonight. I encourage you in trusting God, trusting God, trusting God, trusting God. Father God, we just say thank you right now, Lord God. Father, I pray right now for every man, every husband, father, and son is listening on this line tonight, oh God. Every man, oh God, who's in need, oh God, of your guidance and your direction, God. Every man is in need of your discernment and your wisdom, oh God. Father, there's decisions that have to be made, oh God, that men have to stand up and lead in their families and lead in their homes, God. So, Father, tonight I just want to pray for wisdom. I want to pray for hope. I want to pray encouragement, oh God, over these men as they lead, oh God, in their families and in their homes and in their communities, oh God. Father, I ask a blessing over their lives today, oh God, a spiritual blessing, oh God, that would encourage them and strengthen them, oh God. Father, I ask you continue to watch over this country, God, from the leaders, God, from the president all the way down to the county executives, to the city council members, to police chiefs, all those who you have put into authority, God, because you are sovereign over all these things. You control the heart of the king. You control the destinies of human beings, Lord God. And, Father, you've given some responsibility, God, so I pray for the wisdom over their lives, God, that they might hear your voice, that be guided by your spirit, God. Father, today we pray also, God, for the homeless, oh God, or those who don't have a home, oh God, that are still living on the streets and living in embankments and living a lot of different places, God, but they have no steady home. We're praying for them, oh God. We ask, oh God, that you provide for them, oh God, provide what they need, God, cover them, oh God. And also, Father, we pray that someone, oh God, would reach them, reach their souls through the gospel of Jesus Christ, that truth, oh God, of the gospel of Jesus Christ for every man, every woman, and child, Lord God. Father, we ask today that you continue, God, to use me, use my family, use those around me, use those in my church, oh God, those that are connected by blood and by the Spirit, oh God. Continue to use the body of Christ, oh God, all over this world, God, to bring relief and comfort and hope to this lost and dying world. Continue, God, to use us as salt and light. Let us not get dim. Let us not lose our savor, oh God, that we still might stand for you, oh God, stand on your word, be led by your spirit, oh God, in all circumstances and situations, God. We pray for the persecuted church, God. We pray for the church that's under a yoke of oppression today, Lord God. We pray their strength, oh God, and that the word will come alive in them, Lord God. And we continue to pray for every nation, oh God, that you, God, you have a foothold, you have a remnant in all these places, in all these lands, Lord God. So cover your people, strengthen them, oh God, that the gospel will be able to be, that the gospel will be spoken of, the gospel will be evangelized, the gospel will be preached, oh God, that someone might come to know you as Lord and Savior and have eternal life with you and the saving of souls. So, Father, we just say thank you right now for all that you've done and all that you're doing. Continue to use us in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, brothers, today I just want to encourage you in trusting God. I just want to really encourage us. Because as husbands, fathers, and sons, we have to be able to learn and remember who God is and what he's done for us. Amen? But first, I want to give some encouragement for the evangelism. I know it's springtime. We're in the midst of summer. We still got a good 2 or 3 months here. We have more than that because a lot of things have changed in our culture and our schedules and our society and opportunities to witness the love of Jesus Christ, to share the gospel, to share the word of God with someone, oh God, that might be going through, might be in hopelessness, might be suffering financially or emotionally, that we will be salt and light, be able to speak into the lives of people that they may come to know him. So as we go out and as we reach others, we have to be prepared ourselves to have mixed responses to our evangelism. First, we pray. All evangelism starts with prayer. Evangelism starts in our hearts and our minds, and let God prepare our hearts and our minds to go out. Remember, evangelism is not how many people we can get saved we can't save anyone. But some of us use the sinner's prayer, we use a confession. But just surrender unto God that he might use you to speak truth into someone's life, that they would know Jesus Christ, and that you would be able to answer any of their questions and all their questions. Or you know, no, have a resource for them. I mean, we always here, we in the Maryland, my church, we give away devotionals, we give away Bibles. Prepare yourself. Do you still have the tools? Are you still accumulating tools to be able to still get in the midst, to be able to share the gospel, to share a word with someone, to give them encouragement, give them a tract, give them a devotional, give away Bibles? Are we still being the church? But what I want to talk about today is preparing ourselves for mixed responses. Not everybody's going to respond the same. I was reading in Scripture today. I was looking over at Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. I advise you to go read that. And it talks about when Paul was at Mars Hill. He was before the leaders of their community. And they had a lot of, you know, they came there. That was a place where they came to meet and talk and discuss things of religion, morality, politics, a lot of things. And they had a lot of altars there. Because of many gods. If you know history, you know the Greeks and Romans had many gods and statues and idols and idolatry that they prayed to. But if for those who are familiar with the book of Acts, chapter 17, it talks about there was a marking for the known, that the unknown God, the God they didn't know. And Paul used that opportunity to tell them about the God of Jews, to tell them about Jesus Christ, God the Father and God the Son. And he used that opportunity to share with them. And in that, some believed, some almost believed, some mocked him. But we have to be, in our evangelism, be prepared to share the gospel, be prepared to answer the questions. But then we also have to have the right expectation in our evangelism. Remember, it's the Holy Spirit that's going to move a person to hear and receive. It's not us. We are the vessels. We are the ambassadors. And we are called to speak that thing out sometimes. I know a lot of people preach about living a life as an example. But what I'm talking about is those encounters with strangers. I'm talking about the evangelism that Paul and Peter and Barnabas and John Mark, and as they went out from Jerusalem, out into Europe, into Asia, Asia Minor, and preached the gospel to those who did not have a Jewish background, who did not know they preached Jesus. And him crucified, and his salvation, and his death, and his shed blood. So we have to be able to preach that to someone that has no spiritual background, or maybe different levels of spiritual understanding, and ready to receive it. But having the right expectations as we evangelize can be a great help. Expecting a variety of responses can make us a better prepared to receive them. That people are going to respond differently, have different questions. This is where we have to study to show ourselves approved and know what we believe and why we believe it. And we have to, and that prevents us from setting ourselves from being disappointed and making unrealistic expectations. I remember when I first got saved and I was involved with some evangelism, you know, people said, well, we're going to go out and we're going to save, we're going to get 10 people today to say the sinner's prayer and confess Christ, and we're going to go out and we're going to reach these, and, you know, you set numbers and We want to be this, and we're going door to door. I mean, all that is you know, but it's all we got to remember. It's God that's going to move in the hearts of people. We're just called to go out. We're called to make an opportunity. We're called to be a witness to the gospel. So we have to have, with that, I say unrealistic expectations. There is an expectation of hope that God will save some, and some will come to know him through us and through our labors, but we have to keep it realistic that everyone is not going to receive. But we also have to be realistic in realizing that not all will. Again, not all will. And we have to understand that. And that should not make us lose hope, discourage us, and stop us from not going out the next time, and the next time, and the next time. You know, sometimes we get discouraged because no one took the sinner's prayer, no one came to visit the church, you know, but we don't ever know what the seeds that we're planting. Because it's of the Holy Spirit that will soften people's hearts, that there will be differing responses as we meet. And never know, when we go back again the next time to those communities and see the same people again, our faithfulness and our consistency can also draw them. Because you never know what the track you gave them, the devotion you gave them, how God's word could affect their hearts. So the next time they see you, they might have more questions or be prepared to understand and ask you more about this God that you serve and ask you about Jesus. So we have to know that we're planting seeds. We're sowers of seed, and that seed is the word. So we can expect to meet everyone to have a little or no concern for spiritual matters. They've been prepared. They may not be prepared to trust Jesus Christ as Savior. They might not be prepared to receive and understand the full gospel. But we have to be consistent and be ready. And again, knowing that it's the Holy Spirit. So, in spiritual matters, we bring mixed responses. So our expectation is that God is able and that God used me to reach this one person. Amen? So I just want to encourage you out there in evangelism as we go forth, as we continue to evangelize in the communities, in our workplaces, and just those we meet. We have a coordinated, organized, where the whole church body goes out, or on our own. You know, I always say, brothers, always have a track, have something, a devotional that you can just hand someone something. On the bus, I know a lot of us drive, but on the bus, in the neighborhood, in the supermarket, you see people in the parking lot sometimes who are just stressing out, that you just take opportunity. You go out in the morning with two devotionals, you can reach four people. And you never know how you could strike up a conversation with just handing them a tract. So I just want to encourage the body of Christ to continue to sow seeds of the gospel, to pray and be prepared to share the gospel and watch God move on people's lives. Amen? Amen. Amen. Again, you are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. And we're here every Monday night at 8, every Thursday night at 8 p.m., and on Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Amen? You can always go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, and you can listen to the archive of our past shows. You can go there and listen to the show online, or you can always call in at 646-668-2636. Press 1 on your keypad, and you can join the conversation, share your insights and wisdom, and be part of the program. Amen? Amen. So, what I'm going to talk about tonight is trusting God. We cannot trust someone we do not know, and that is the secret of learning to trust God. We have to know that we have to learn to know God, and that's going to be only through the study of His Word, study and knowing Him through the Scripture, through a study and understanding of the Scripture. If we look from Genesis to Revelation, you know, I always say, you know, we did a study last year. And I learned this, and I learned to understand that if you don't believe Genesis, you can never believe Christianity to be true. Because remember, Christianity doesn't start in the New Testament; it starts in Genesis. The faith starts in Genesis. Amen. So, as we trust someone, we have to know Him in the secret that God trusts us with. So we have to learn to trust God. The only way we can do that is to be able to read and understand His Word. And study. His Bible, the Scripture tells us to study to show ourselves approved, to meditate on the Word, to take the Word into our hearts, into our minds, and just to know Him, to get to know Him through His Word, and then through the power of the Holy Spirit, give us illumination, understanding, and revelation on what the Word is saying and how we apply that Word to our lives. That's the most important thing I'm going to say to every man, every father, every son out there. The application of the Word to our life when we start to surrender and submit to what we know to be true. The second reason we got to trust God, because He's worthy. He's worthy to be trusted. He's never lied. He never fails. He always fulfills His promises. The Bible says God is not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should change His mind. So do we know that God fulfills all His promises? Again, the Scripture teaches that God is faithful. He chose Israel. He chose Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. No matter what they did, He fulfilled the call in Abraham's life for his seed and his bloodline to bring the Savior to the world. Jesus prophesied. He used in the Old Testament, He used the prophets through Israel to prophesy their blessings, their failures when they were disobedient. He prophesied their judgment, their punishments for forsaking Him, but yet He still restored them over and over again. That's why I like to understand what God is doing. When you read the Old Testament, you see how much He loved Israel, no matter what they fell short and failed and disobeyed Him, and did a lot of things He told them specifically not to do. But yet God loved them and restored them to their land, into their culture, and as a people. Amen? So, again, you know, we have to believe that God is true. That's the example we have in Scripture, because Scripture is true. It's the Word of God. And as we read Scripture, we see God's faithfulness there, knowing that He keeps His Word. He's faithful to it. His plans are perfect. This is why we should also trust Him. He's holy and righteous. His work, he works all things for the good of those who love Him and are called to His holy purpose. That's in Romans 8:28. But again, look what He's done for Israel, because He made the promise through Abraham. And now us as believers being grafted in as the children of God, being grafted in through our faith in Jesus Christ, His birth, life, death, and resurrection, we are now grafted in as an heir, joint heirs, with Abraham, with Israel. Amen? So if we endeavor to know Him through His Word, we will see that He is worthy of our trust. And we trust Him, we grow daily. As we get to know Him, the more we trust Him, the more we see what He's doing in our lives. And personally for myself, and for many brothers I know, once we came into the knowledge to trust God, things started to change in our lives. It didn't change. Some of it was rapid. Some of it was over time. But the more we soak into the Word, the more we start to live with the Word, the more we apply the Word, and then listen to the Holy Spirit for guidance and direction, change the people we were around, change our associates, change our circle of influence to people who also believe what we believed and believed the Word and lived out that Word. Some were more mature in the Word, more had more wisdom to share in our life specifically. The testimony of those who have overcame the things that we struggled with when it comes with addiction, cursing, lying, whatever your thing was in the world, that God has delivered other folk from that. And that's where our testimony and our personal testimony and the transparency of our testimony comes in, that we can be able to share that with someone who's struggling, thinking that their struggles is different, that no one is struggling what they struggle with. But our testimony is knowing the faithfulness of God, that if we obey, that if we live for Him and we live as we love Him, God will deliver us from some things. He will take us out of some things. May He bless us and continue to move and use us. Amen? Every Christian is given a personal testimony to God's trustworthiness. We see the works in our lives. I mean, I've known the testimony over the years of many men who came out of a lot of things. Not all of it was drugs, not all of it was alcohol. It was just other things that we were doing that was sin that we continually kept doing in our lives. And we because of the faithfulness of God, He brought us out of it. And now we have a personal testimony for the next man to hear that can help him. So this is why we can trust God, because we've seen the work He's done in other people's lives. You know, it's funny, I was thinking about this a couple of months ago as we was in a men's group, that, you know, a lot of the pastors and brothers that I know that are pastoring now, they were not sons of, you know. They were men who lived many years, disobedient to God, not caring about God, but once they've gotten saved, God tends to use them and their testimony to further them in ministry. Now they're pastoring, they're elders, and that just happened to be the circle of the brothers that I'm with. So I see that as again, this is why every man, our salvation, our lives is not for us. God saved us for a purpose. God saved each of us to reach, maybe there's one soul out there that only we will be able to preach the gospel to, because they will only receive it from us. And there's part of our life and our testimony that's going to encourage them to press in and know that their God can also do the change, make the change in their lives. Because people are struggling with a lot of things every day going through. And again, a lot of times in our pride, we sometimes think we're the only ones going through and everybody got it better than us. And that's not necessarily true. Some of us have made better decisions in our lives to do different, to be different. And we see that God, through our obedience to Christ and His Word, and through, again, the leading of the Holy Spirit, we can find change in our marriages. We find change in our personal relationships. We change as fathers, as husbands, as sons. We're different than we were before, because we all were sinners at one time, but yet God still loved us and made a way for us. So we have to remember that His promises to save souls, and we are to be used for His purpose, and comfort us with the peace and understanding that as we run this race, He has a plan for us. He has a plan for all of our lives, no matter who you are. And to me, I say this because I say this a lot to the brothers out there. God's plan for everyone is not to pastor a church or deacon or elder. It's not about titles, because again, within the framework of the church, there's personal responsibility that God has given certain men, which is what he does to govern his church. It's scriptural. However, all of us are called for a purpose, that we all are called to be ambassadors and ministers of the gospel. As our life, as God blesses us and uses us, that we are to be salt and light. That's for every believer. Now, the greater responsibility that pastors and elders and deacons have is a thing that God uses to, again, to be able to teach, to disciple, to mentor, to encourage, to pray for. Because there's a lot of things that pastors do. Everybody just think words about Sunday morning for that 45-hour preaching. That's not a pastor's job. That's not the only thing a pastor does. Well, I'll say this. Any good God called pastor, that Sunday morning is most time is the easiest part, the easiest hour of his life, because God has prepared him all week or his entire life. Because remember, after one Sunday, you know your pastor has to get ready for next Sunday, plus he has to minister, disciple, teach the rest of the week. I mean, I don't want to go down that road, but again, understand that God uses us all, and we have to learn to trust God, and his promises are true. And also, we should trust ourselves and others who were sinful, unpredictable. How can we say we trust a man and not trust God? Because we know who we used to be, and we know how men can be, or people even in this flesh. Even some of the best brothers I know, sometimes, you know, how much trust do you put in those brothers and not trust God? Because what I trust in the brother now is I trust the God in him. I trust the God, the Holy Spirit that's leading him. As I see the fruit of his life, and then our relationship is built on the God that I see in him. And even when he struggles, always falls short, I know that God is working it out, because the fact that we are in fellowship, we're in koinonia, and we're connected, we understand the struggles that we all go through, and we're praying for one each other, encouraging one another. So I just want to know, we put the trust in our brothers that we can see, but how do we have that same trust for a God who created us all and gave us his son to redeem us back into right relationship and right fellowship with him? So as we trust others who are sinful, unpredictable, unreliable, you know, even our pastor, bishop, I don't mean you can name any of them, but their wisdom is limited. So if we trust them, how much more should we trust the God that they serve and the God that is using them? Because we can go straight to the source of the wisdom for our own circumstances and situations. Again, as men, husbands, and fathers, there's going to be times that we're going to have the wisdom to lead our families to make those decisions that way is going to affect our life in the immediate. Because we all have history of bad decisions, bad choices, and being moved by our emotions. But God still. But we can learn from those, and God will bless us and continue to keep us in a place where we can learn from our mistakes, make better choices, and then move forward. Because he's all-knowing, all-wise, all-powerful, gracious, merciful, and a loving God. And all he has is good intentions for us. Amen? So once we understand that, we can continue to move in a place where we can trust him. Where we can trust him and continue to show our love for him through our obedience. And obedience is one of the things and one of those fruits that we can say that we know that we trust God, because the obedience of our life, again, to his word and to his Holy Spirit. And let me encourage you at this point that the Holy Spirit is only going to confirm the word that God has given us. Do not underestimate the value of the 66 books, of understanding it, of studying, meditating on it, and being able to apply that word to your life, from the smallest word to the smallest phrase, to that you understand that scripture is there to encourage us, for us to be a blueprint our ruler, our guide that sets the parameters of our life. So I just want to encourage you, brothers, that as you continue, all you need to know about God is his gracious is made available to us in the Bible, his holy word to his people. To know God is to trust him. So I encourage you, brothers, seek him through his word, seek him in prayer, seek him in the fellowship and the prayer of the saints, to know God, that you can learn to trust him more, today than yesterday and more as you continue this walk and continue to fulfill the purpose and plan that God created you for. Men, I'd like to thank you for joining me tonight. Thank you for being listening and being part of the program. All you who had called in is 646-668-2636. I see you on the switchboard. Thank you for joining us. All those listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/ Deacon Thomas Farr. Also, thank you for joining me tonight. Continue to be blessed. Join us here again on Thursday at 8 p.m. and on Saturday morning at 9 a.m. God bless you. Have a wonderful evening.